We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Couple of responses to our question we asked last hour. Willie P here with you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. If I can give you the opportunity to make one move for the Atlanta Falcons before the new regime takes over, what would that be? One guy goes, hire Lincoln Riley. That's the most reasonable one, I think, that we got on Twitter. That's from Sav Scott. I don't mind Lincoln Riley. I just feel like a lot of his stock has drifted lower than it might have been in the recent years. I feel like the time to hire him would have been last offseason because he was riding a lot higher in that point. Birdman from Norcross says, if I had to make one move for the offseason, I'd hire a coach who can make the most out of Matt Ryan while he's still under contract. Admirable. Yet, I don't know, again, I don't know what that looks like. I don't know if that gets you wins. I'm going to say it point blank. I don't care if it gets me in trouble or not. I don't have a lot of hope right now for this roster going forward because too many immovable parts that you have to hold on to that I feel like we were oversold on. I think we're oversold on Jake Matthews. I feel we're oversold on anybody on the defensive line that's not named Grady Jarrett. I feel like you got solid linebackers. We got two solid corners. Keanu's probably not coming back, I don't think. Demonte KZ was a nice piece, but losing him certainly put you guys behind the eight ball. I think Michael Walker's a great piece to build off of if you want to go to a 3-4. But after that, I'm looking at this team, and Calvin Ridley, after that I'm looking at this team, and I feel like there's a lot of immovable parts, that are holding this roster down and are very much dead weight. Ryan and Julio were two of them. That's just my opinion. Again, I could be completely off base, but I feel like a lot of the blame has been unfairly laid at the feet of this coaching staff. And while you can certainly blame a lot of the in-game management situations involving some of these things with the team, I do feel like there's a lot when it comes to this talent that was oversold to us and put in a way that is being sold in a way that I'm really not buying. Sports Radio 99 The Game. By the way, before I get to what's happening, I do want to make sure that my guy Deshaun Tate is listening because he decided to sully my alma mater, Mizzou's basketball team, on the air yesterday. They have bounced back and they have a very comfortable lead on Arkansas right now at the point. So he talked crap about them against their loss to Tennessee on Wednesday. I do want to find out, you know, if he's listening to make sure that he knows that they are actually putting themselves back in the driver's seat that possibly upset the apple cart in the SEC. Them along with Georgia have been a couple of the nice stories we've seen in the Southeastern Conference, despite the fact that Georgia lost its conference opener last week as well. Before we get to our good friend Jarvis Davis at 220, our Atlanta Falcons insider, for his usual appearance with us, we say hello to Ken Roundtree and tell you what's happening.
Peter. What?
What?
What's happening?
College football playoff yesterday. We saw Alabama roll Notre Dame. We saw Ohio State defeat Clemson. Ryan Day tried very, very hard to basically be sheepish about the added motivation of beating a school like Clemson because of the fact that you had Clemson obviously woofing before the game, or at least Dabo Sweeney woofing before the game because of the putting them 11th in his coaches poll. But to me, I feel like the story of this contest is the 2019 Justin Fields showed up to kick off 2021. We didn't see him anywhere in 2020. He showed up in the first day of 2021 and gave the Ohio State Buckeyes a rout, big victory over the Clemson Tigers. Here is Ryan Day, again, humbled, but also giving at least a little bit of an indicator that this was a little bit personal when it came to Ohio State beating Clemson.
After last year, we wanted to come back and have an opportunity to play in the CFP and then go on to have a chance to win the national championship. And that's where we're at right now. Because of the way it all played out, because it was Clemson, you know, just like we played them last year, you know, I think that had a lot of, you know, added flavor to it. And a lot of guys left that field feeling like they let one get away. And so, you know, in life, you don't typically get an opportunity to have a second chance. You can't miss the second time. So, you know, I don't know what we're more excited about, the fact that we have a chance to play for a national championship or the fact that we avenged that loss. But we're going to enjoy it tonight, you know, have a great champions meeting and move on from there.
Big victory for Ohio State over Clemson. The final yesterday, 49-28. Fields throws for 6 touchdowns. By the way, this is the second time that's happened against Clemson in a bowl game. It's only happened 7 times in the history of college football, dating back to as long as bowls have existed. Clemson is the only school it's happened to against twice in bowl games. Again, Ohio State and Alabama 1 week from Monday. We'll, of course, be talking all about that leading up to it. Bama, of course, rolling over Notre Dame earlier in the day in the moved to Arlington version of the Rose Bowl. Also yesterday, we did see probably the most competitive game we've seen during the bowl season. Georgia's 24-21 win over Cincinnati ends the season for Georgia on a positive note. Game-winning field goal, I put Lesney, makes Georgia 8-2 on the season. Bearcats of Cincinnati finished 9-1. Kirby Smart talking about the kid who made the first big kick of his life after having not really made one throughout his entire career, either college or before that.
I don't mess with Jack. I don't mess with kickers. I let them do their thing. I don't want to mess with their mojo, their rhythm. I don't say anything to them. I mess with them some days in practice, but I didn't mess with them here today. I felt comfortable with where he was, that we would have the leg strength to get there. I mean, that's about the spot that we work on it every week during 2 minutes that I say, hey, if we get to that spot, we're going to be able to make a field goal.
It won't be a full chapter in Georgia history. He won't go down and all of a sudden turn into Rodrigo Blankenship, but Jack Podlesny certainly earned a lot of Georgia goodwill with that 24-21 kick, or 22-21 kick at the time. They did get a safety at the end to make up the final margin. Georgia, as we said, finishes the season at 8-2. Falcons and Bucks coming up on Sunday inside Tampa Bay. It's Raymond James Stadium. Of course, we'll have it for you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Pre-game coverage beginning with the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. I'll be on with Hugh Douglas one more time, 9 a.m. until 11. Countdown to kickoff show with Go Forth and Harry at 11, and then Wes and Dave with the call at 1. Falcons will be without 3 starters. Darquez Denard, Julio Jones, and Alex Mack all will not play. Mack because of COVID-19 symptoms, and at least being on the reserve COVID-19 list, I should say. No word yet on whether or not he has symptoms, but it's likely he's played his last game for the Atlanta Falcons, as many have thought that he might move on. Falcons did draft the heir apparent to Alex Mack in the 3rd round of the 2020 draft. Matt Hennessy made his first start last week. Bit of a mixed bag. Raheem Morris are preparing Hennessy for a vaunted 3-4 defense with Tampa.
You're going to be dealing with somebody over top of your head now. So now you got to be ready to deal with those things. The snap is critical. To beat the guy to the punch is critical. To get off the ball is critical. It may not be as many second-level blocks as you mainly would have versus a 4-3 look. You still will get those 4-3 looks, obviously, when you go to your nickel or you go to your blitz packages and you move those guys around. But Hennessy is far capable of doing those things. It's something that we drafted him in. We looked at him for it, and to be able to do that thing. I'm just fired up to see and get him ready to go. You know, obviously hoping Alex will be ready to go and up to speed. But we know those guys will all be ready and capable of doing the jobs.
That is Raheem Morris. Again, Falcons and Bucks as they play out the string. Tampa needing a win to secure the number 5 seed. They would play the NFC East winner with a win. If they lose and certain things go against them, they'd have to be the 6th seed, and they could possibly go to anywhere between Green Bay, New Orleans, or Seattle, depending on how the NFC seeding works out. So at least for Tampa Bay's perspective, they still believe that they have something to play for, and Bruce Arians has made it clear that he does at least intend to treat this game like it's not an exhibition and play his starters for as long as the game is competitive. Hawks with a bounce-back victory over the Brooklyn Nets last night. And you know what? Not only did they play defense, but you saw some great inside presence. I said earlier, it looks like John Collins is playing the best basketball of his Hawks career. Here's an emphatic slam from last night's affair.
And now John Collins will put it in. The Hawks live 14 on the 24. DeAndre Hunter goes underneath to John. He's alone. Oh! He jammed right over Jared Allen. He put him on a poster, folks. The great shot blocker just got dunked on. And the Hawks lead 104-87.
call from Steve Holman and the always excitable Mike Conti. I can't remember the last time Mike Conti screamed in the color chair as much as he does there. Usually you hear those screams in the play-by-play chair, but in the analyst chair, man, he was excited and he was hyped when it comes to the victory last night and the big dunk from John Collins. Part of a big statement night for the Hawks, who split the two games up in Brooklyn, and head coach Lloyd Pierce talking about it afterwards.
He just brought it. You know, I thought he could have had more blocks on the defensive end, and if we can get that early step as a protection guy, you know, he can really clean up some plays for us. But he had a tremendous mindset tonight, and it was good to see him be rewarded with some baskets at the rim and then him make some plays for some other guys as well.
The he, Lloyd Pierce, is talking about is Clint Capella, who played a season-high 30 minutes, 12 points, 11 rebounds, also dished out 6 assists. John Collins, 20 points and 8 rebounds as well. The Hawks were led by the 23 from DeAndre Hunter, 21 from Trae Young, as the Hawks win by 18. They are now 4-1, play tonight against Cleveland. Pregame coverage 7 o'clock, 7:30 tip at State Farm Arena tonight, part of a stretch that, like Caleb Johnson said, some winnable games for them here coming up. They play the Knicks on Monday, a pair against the Hornets on Wednesday, and a week from today, Saturday. We'll see how the Hawks negotiate this next stretch. They could possibly get some nice downward and upward momentum when it comes to this part of their schedule, and watching them gel also without a lot of their parts. Again, no Rondo tonight, no Chris Dunn, no Okongwu, no Gallinari, but they're still getting victories. We'll see whether or not the Falcons are interested in getting a victory on Sunday when we hear from Jarvis Davis. I'll also ask him what he thinks the intentions of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are as they get ready for a chance to get ready for their postseason start with a Week 17 matchup against Atlanta. Willie P is in the building. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com.
Here's more Willie P on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Willie P is in the building, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com. Happy to have you with us here on this Saturday. It's our last Saturday for a while. We'll explain why with, of course, the fact that the NFL playoffs beginning in earnest next week. We're going to have a lot of our playoff action right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, so we'll be preempted for that, but we'll shift to Sundays here for the next couple of weeks, and we'll hope you enjoy us all the same on those days. It is now time to head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Jarvis Davis, our Atlanta Falcons insider, joins us for the first time. I get to talk to him in 2021. Happy New Year, Big J. Thank you so much for taking some time.
No problem, man. Happy New Year to you as well, man. Thanks for having me.
He is also one half of the show with Jarvis and Tanitra, which airs tonight at 6 o'clock. So we're very much looking forward to hearing the latest installment of that. I asked the question earlier in the program, Jarvis, if I gave you the keys to the kingdom to make one move before the regime gets its hands, or the next regime gets its hands on this team, what move would that be? If I gave you one such wish, what's your first move? It could be anything. It could be a personnel move. It could be who you hire for the GM or the head coach. One move. You get to make it before the reins go over to whoever the heck is taking over. What move would you make?
I would seriously consider making a move to move the draft up and try to get either Najee Harris or Trey Sermon on my roster, because after watching Trey last night and Najee Harris in the bowl game, I'm really excited about really excited to get those guys on this roster, because I think those two guys can be some game changers, and they're guys that you don't have to necessarily draft in the first round also.
I was going to say, because, you know, they're not going to be first round picks, I don't think, because we know what happens when it comes to these first round running backs. They don't exactly always pan out. And I think a lot of them too, you know, you warned about durability issues. Do you think trading down from the first round to get him maybe in the late first round, or even possibly getting some higher draft capital in the second round than you might have, do you think that's the route to go to get that next running back?
I think most definitely that one of them will be there by the time. I think a lot of people forget that the Falcons are going to have more than likely to have a top five pick in the second round as well. So I think they can sit exactly where they are. They can get one of those two guys, because, like you said, you don't necessarily – you wouldn't want to draft those guys in the first round because just from a, like I said, a durability standpoint, and you can – just due to the fact that you can probably get a guy with that type of talent outside of the first round. But I think if you do trade down, yeah, you have a lot more picks, but I think if you trade down, you'd be trying to look for – a guy that can come off the edge that you really, really like in that second or third round if you're going to make that move. But I think you'll definitely be able to get one of those guys just sitting where you are in the second round.
Jarvis, I'm all for trying to get a big running back on this team. My question to you is, do we block it well enough? I feel like from Mac on over, left side of the line has been a massive disappointment this season. I like the development of Lindstrom. McGarry is still a work in progress. But I feel like one of the main reasons why we haven't gotten the run game going is because in addition to not having dynamic running backs, we don't block it well enough. How much of that do you observe? Because I know you're a man who always has his eye on the trenches.
Oh, definitely it's time. Alex Mack, his time is up as Atlanta Falcon. Now, I'm not saying that to say that he has been a disappointment, but these past couple of years, Alex Mack has gone down. And given what we've seen traditionally from this at that position for this team, I think his play going down was still serviceable. So I think you're going to have to not necessarily give the position to Matt Hennessy, but this is an audition for him for the next regime, being that he's going to get the start against Tampa Bay. And also you're going to have to look at a replacement at left guard. I think you need to go young. Spending money and wasting money on free agents to be serviceable is something that you've done in the past, and some have worked. Carpenter's been okay outside when he's not, you know, getting penalties and dealing with knick-knack injuries. So I think going forward, center and left guard are going to be something you're going to have to address. And I'm all for competition. I don't think you need to just say, hey, Hennessy, you're our guy. And also, I think you need to just get a left guard that has some starting capability in the draft.
Are you sold on Matthews, though? That's my other question.
Jake Matt, he's fine. He doesn't move me either way. I mean, you've already paid him the money to be your left tackle. I think he can be solid. He can be a solid piece. He's pretty consistent in what you give him, which is, like I said, solid. And I have no issue. I don't have a dire need to replace Jake Matthews if I'm in a position to make that decision. But like I said, where you really, really need help, where you really, really need to address those positions you need to address is center and left guard for sure.
Talking with Jarvis Davis, our 9-9 The Game Falcons insider here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. If I had to basically lay some money down for you, say you can bet on either Matt or Julio lasting longer with this organization, who would you say you'd put your money on lasting longer with the Falcons organization, Matt or Julio?
Oh, yeah, I'm putting all my money on Matt. That's for sure. I think Matt is going to be around longest for this team because, you know, there have been some rumblings or some backdoor conversations about Julio possibly. Somebody putting together a package for Julio Jones. We shall see if those reports are true. I believe when I see it, but when you talk about the possibility of getting rid of a player and not putting your team in cap hell for the next 3 or 4 years, I definitely see that as Julio being that guy that you can get rid of and not necessarily take that big of a hit. But I think Matt Ryan is going to be the guy that sticks around the longest for sure.
Looking towards this game, I think Tampa has said all the right things going into the game. They're going to be obviously shorthanded defensively. No McClendon, no White, and no Shaq Barrett. What do you believe their intentions are in this game? Do you believe that it is a fait accompli that they take guys out, or do you feel like they'll be in this to win this based on the seeding implications that will take place during the contest?
You know what? To be honest with you, I think they try to win this game, but if they end up in a position where Tom Brady may be in trouble and the game is out of hand, say for the Falcons jump out to a big lead and the game is out of hand, I think they shut it down, because Bruce Arians is a pretty no-nonsense guy. I think initially they say, hey, yeah, we're going to try to win this game regardless of what we're dealing with, from whether it be COVID or injuries or what have you. I think they try to go out and win this game. But if it gets out of hand and the game is out of reach, which probably the way this Falcons team has played, that's possible. You know, because you never know what you're going to get from a weekly basis with this team. I think Bruce Arians shuts it down.
I'm looking at this game and this season and the totality of this Falcons season as one where I understand a lot of the blame goes with the coaching staff. And again, we talked about this mainly with the offensive line, but does the coaching staff get too much blame for this season going the way that it does? I almost feel like the greater blame has to go with the now dismissed regime of Thomas Dimitroff, the inability to draft certain guys or at least get drafted guys to be contributors on the field. In my mind, we were sold or oversold, overstated talent on this team. Is that a fair assessment, or do you feel like a lot of the ills of this team fall squarely on the management and the coaching staff and in-game things from people who were not players on the field?
I think the coaching staff definitely plays a part in it, but I think overall, for me, and looking at how this team has drafted up front, I think a lot of it falls squarely on the shoulders of Thomas Dimitroff. Because when you think about not being able to draft offensive linemen, not being able to get a guy who can rush the passer that you've drafted, and not being able to bring in guys that can rush the passer on a consistent basis. Like, look at Dante Fowler and what he's been this year. I thought Dante Fowler had the skill set, the necessary skill set to be able to be productive, but that hasn't been the case. Just from an injury standpoint, he hasn't been healthy, and I don't necessarily think that he's been used in the right manner or put into position to be able to rush the passer on a consistent basis. Because when you think about the where he came from and always rushing on the backside, always getting that one-on-one matchup. Los Angeles, when Wade Phillips as a defensive coordinator, they always made sure that was the case for him. I mean, of course, you have a guy like Aaron Donald where teams don't really be paying attention to you like that. So that absolutely helps. But I think that he could have been put in better positions when he was healthy, to be able to be productive. But when you think about the totality of things and looking at it overall, yeah, Dan Quinn deserves some fall from the game, from the clock management standpoint, when to call timeouts, when not to call timeouts, bringing in assistant coaches that weren't necessarily guys who can help you or help develop players more so at that defensive line position. I think he deserves some of the credit for sure, but I think overall – Thomas Dimitroff is the guy who's responsible for bringing in talent so they can coach, so those guys can be able to develop those guys, and he did not do that.
Last one for you, Jarvis. I got about 60 seconds. Can you please dispel this prevailing thought among Falcons fans, people outside this building, that Rich McKay is some boogeyman that needs to be extinguished? Because I feel like that's the biggest load of garbage that's being spewed right now, and I don't think it's true.
I'm with you on that. But let me say this though. If I'm a general manager with experience, I would really like to know what his role would be going forward, and I will make sure that Arthur Blank puts that in writing. You know, as far as what my role is, do I report to him, or is he going back to the business side of things once I'm hired? I would definitely question that very thoroughly if I'm an incoming general manager and the head coach as well. Because, you know, right before Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff were let go, they were reporting to Rich McKay. So if you're a smart person, you're looking to see what his role is going forward. And I know that may be hard since he may be he's conducting those interviews or he's in those interviews. So I think it's a – if I'm a veteran guy, general manager, and I'm looking for my first opportunity as a GM, I might not necessarily take this job if I have another opportunity where I got a full carte blanche to make all the decisions. So he's not the boogeyman, but he is he may be Frankenstein, somebody you might be able to be aware of, that's for sure.
Jarvis Davis, again, you can hear him and Tanedra Batiste, our two main Falcons insiders, together on the show from 6 until 7. They will lead you up to Hawks, rather, and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Thank you so much, Big J. Happy New Year. We'll talk soon.
All right, man. Thanks for having me, and Happy New Year to you again, and we appreciate it, man.
That is Jarvis Davis here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The early contender for audio clip of the year comes your way in the kicker next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, radio.com.
Taking you back to more Willie P on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Willie P is in the building. Final segment with you here on a Saturday. Like we said, starting next week, I'll be moving over to Sundays because of the NFL playoff action. I did want to at least update our top story. And again, it's not a top story of local import. It just is something that we've been following because it has a clown show element to it, and I have a very, very bad addiction when it comes to clown shows. So when we last spoke about the situation involving the Texas coaching search, which, by the way, came completely out of the blue today because Chris Del Conte apparently had a premonition of some sort, the AD at Texas, to be like, you know what, after, you know, 3 weeks ago saying that Tom Herman's going to be here, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to drop a bomb in the middle of my football program and say, you know what? That's it. Someone must have cut a check, $24 million to Herman and his staff. He gets 15 of it. The rest of the staff gets 9. The initial scuttlebutt was that Steve Sarkisian was going to be the man who took the job. David Pollack, longtime ESPN analyst and former Georgia defensive end, said he had heard that Sark had turned the job down. Well, those initially who gave Sark the inside edge are doubling down and saying an announcement's expected later today or tomorrow that it will be Sark. And they're saying that all this talk from Pollack is folly. So much to the point where it's like they've given David Pollack people's elbow, including my buddy Ross Dellinger, who appears on this program all the time. And I'm only saying this because Ross said it in the public eye and not privately. So I feel like it's fair game, and he doesn't mind me sharing this with you on the air. He said, probably best to trust local and vetted reporters with a lengthy history of reporting rather than football analysts who have no history of breaking news. Good local journalism matters. Man, Ross. Wow. Of course, the initial report came from Chip Brown. Of course, it was a longtime member of the paper there, the Austin American Statesman, Dallas Morning News. He now works, obviously, for the folks at 24/7, as he basically was the first man in on this story. He even had Sark to Texas before people even had Herman out. So that is, of course, the story there in Texas. We have Hawks basketball on tonight, taking on the Cleveland Cavaliers after their victory last night over Brooklyn. Falcons tomorrow against the Buccaneers. We will give you at least a final thought on each of those three. But before we do that, it's time for the kicker.
We're talking about our kicker who got liquored up and ran his mouth off. What has the sports world come to? We're talking about kickers. He has ruined kickers for life.
I don't like the sound of them apples, Will.
I don't like it, don't like it, don't like it.
If you are new to the program, this is the segment that we kind of put a lot of these oddball hodgepodge stories in that don't fit anywhere else in the program. Couple of stories of sports importance, couple of stories outside of the world of sports that we'll touch on here. The first one, and again, I teased this going into the break, but the early candidate for clip of the year happened on the first day of the year, or at least going into the second day of the year, late on the first, early on the second. post-game of the Sugar Bowl, Trevor Lawrence is being interviewed via Zoom, dejected and somewhat desolate. There was a gathering and a gaggle of reporters on a Zoom conference. And if we didn't learn our lessons when it came to the mute button in 2020, let's just say we all know them now as the calendar has turned to 2021.
Obviously, Ohio State played a really good game.
Poor Trevor needs to shave his stash.
please mute. Speaking.
Thank you. But anyways, I don't remember what I was saying, to be honest.
Oh, man.
Go ahead, David Hale.
That's hilarious. I've been also trying like hell to figure out who the heck this was. They haven't in our producer studio in Atlanta. Has anybody come forward and said this was them or unearthed the mystery utterer of this comment?
I haven't heard, but it's hilarious, and she's right. He does need to shave it.
Yeah, you know, he's an engaged man now. Like, I feel like this is Trevor letting the foot off the gas pedal here a little bit.
He didn't look dejected in that press conference, by the way. He looked relieved a little bit.
Really?
I think so, yeah. Yeah.
The man's only lost two games in his time in college football. How does he mean to be relieved about?
He's relieved he's going to the NFL.
Okay.
By the way, I think Trevor needs to a haircut just so, because once he gets sacked in the NFL with that long hair, those defensive ends and defensive tackles are going to rag on him about having that long hair like that, and it's not going to be fun.
The old Polamalu rule, you know, when it comes to the hair, they can pull on it now.
Oh, yeah.
Trevor also, I don't know if you remember this, but when it was found out that Trevor uses Pantene, you do realize who you have to thank for asking that question at a bowl press conference.
Did you?
That was me.
Nice.
I unearthed the Pantene. He switched those since then. He's now using some more, like, it's not herbal essences, but it's like one of those offshoot brands that you probably get off Amazon that I've never heard of before.
Had something to do with that.
Maybe. It's like, you know what? You know, be better than Pantene, Trevor, although Pantene's pretty nice stuff. And of course, because I have, you know, not as much hair as he does, but I do have a nice, you know, flowing locks. You know, I tried the Pantene route just, you know, to see, because, you know, his hair is very nice looking and I wanted to try it myself. It's not bad, but it's not better than anything else that I could possibly buy. So maybe he found out the same thing, but Trevor is moving on from Pantene and the Tigers, and maybe also going to the store and getting a Gillette razor to probably shave off that mustache of his.
He could go totally left field and just roll his hair in a bunch of cornrows and just freak everybody out.
I'm just leaving that one alone. I can't say anything. I can't say anything. Indiana's Tom Allen took the petty to a unreachable level, at least in his mind, when it came to the Big Ten. Of course, the folks in Indiana are a little peeved that they didn't become a part of the New Year's Six. They're playing in the Outback Bowl right now and losing to Ole Miss. So a lot of the petty not necessarily being repaid, but they are covering up the Big Ten logo on their uniforms and on their helmets going into today's Outback Bowl game against Ole Miss. They took the Big Ten logo off the uni. They took it off of the little stripe above the helmet. They're saying, you know what? We don't care about the Big Ten. Of course, Tom Allen has the ultimate cover-up for it. His team's mantra, L-E-O, love each other, is actually in the place of the Big Ten logo. A little bit of plausible deniability there from Tom Allen. But you know what? I respect the level of petty from Indiana and the Big Ten, because it's very rare that Indiana gets to this point of prominence. I think their last Big Ten title was like 1945 or something like that in football. Usually a basketball school. I respect the level of petty. And also, he got robbed for Coach of the Year in the entire country. I know Jamie Chadwell did a fantastic job at Coastal Carolina and was undefeated in the regular season, but Tom Allen deserved that award, because to do what he did in a Big Ten schedule that was largely anonymous because of the fact that it was a foregone conclusion for Ohio State and they changed all the rules, they played that group tougher than Clemson did. So in my mind, Allen deserved all the plaudits there, and I do respect the level of petty. Speaking of being petty, Alvin Kamara wore really tight, awesome Christmas shoes. And again, we very, very rarely say nice things about the New Orleans Saints on this station, but I respect the hustle of Alvin Kamara. He has COVID-19. Unfortunate for him. He is going to donate the $5,000 fine, or at least the same amount of the $5,000 fine he is supposed to pay to the league, to also impact charities as well in the outset of Christmas as well. And the last one that I'll give you, I met my girlfriend on a dating app. A study came out that was published in the New York Post that said that couples who meet their significant other via dating apps are just as happy, if not happier, than those who actually meet via more traditional means. So if you're looking for love in 2021, I am not advertising one app over another, but do not be afraid to swipe right in 2021. It's worked for me. I'm not endorsing one particular app over the other, like I said, but according to this this study that was titled The Demography of Swiping Right, an overview of couples who met through dating apps in Switzerland, noted that over the past decade, they have transformed the dating scene by normalizing and, according to some voices, gamifying the digital quest for a partner. Thumbs up, thumbs down on the dating apps, Ken Roundtree. Thumbs up, thumbs down.
Thumbs down, heavily.
Oh, come on.
Heavily
come
thumbs
on.
Down. Look, that may work in Switzerland. That's all fine. But not here. Not here.
You disappoint me, Ken Roundtree.
I'm sorry. I'm still on them. I swipe right, but no. No thanks.
You'll find yours. Don't worry.
I don't need one. I'm good to go.
Hope you enjoyed your Saturday. Nick Cale has you next. I'll talk to you tomorrow on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show as the Falcons play out the string against Tampa Bay. So long, everybody. Happy New Year. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.